We're back with In Focus, and the next half of the hour, or 24 minutes or so, we're going to be visiting with a couple of folks from Pawnee Mental Health, including Executive Director Robin Cole. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, Dave. Can you hear me?
I got you now. How are you?
I'm great.
Also is Bruce Johnson. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
We're going to be talking a little bit about initially the one-year anniversary of the CSU. And Robin, this has been a critical thing that a lot of folks came together. And has it really been a year since you opened up?
It really has been a year. And what a year. It has been, who would have ever thought when we opened the CSU or when we were even thinking about it, that that the COVID-19 pandemic would occur in our first year of operation.
Yeah.
It's been wild.
Let's talk a little bit about what CSU means and what it does.
Sure. Well, you know, the CSU, you know, when I go back to even how it all first got started, you know, Pawnee Mental Health is a community mental health center, is the designated mental health authority in Riley County, which what that really means is that Pawnee Mental Health, as the community mental health center, has the authority to do screens of individuals who are in a mental health crisis and make determinations about whether or not that person needs to be admitted to a psychiatric hospital on an involuntary basis, certainly in those situations where they're where they don't recognize their need for treatment. And so because Pawnee Mental Health is the designated mental health authority in Riley County, you know, for years I've been meeting with the Riley County Commission and giving them reports and updates on what some of our needs were. Well, back when Karen McCullough was a Riley County Commissioner, she, I think in response to just hearing what some of the needs in the community were, called for the creation of the Riley County Mental Health Task Force. And at that time, it was made up of representatives of Riley County Police Department, the courts, the hospital, county commission, city commission, Pawnee, et cetera, et cetera. And part of what we saw happening was that we were all addressing issues of mental illness, but that we didn't have a consolidated or a coordinated effort. And so folks who had, you know, who were in need of emergency treatment were spending a lot of time in hospital emergency rooms. Some of them were ending up in jail. And then a moratorium on admissions to the state hospital made the situation even worse. And that moratorium has actually been in place now for 5 years, which is hard to believe.
Bruce, you've go ahead, Robin, sorry.
So the Riley County Mental Health Task Force said, hey, we need to do something about this. And it was within the context of that Riley County Mental Health Task Force that we started talking about a crisis stabilization unit for the mentally ill in Riley County.
Bruce, you've been the director since we opened up. Gosh, I'm still kind of stymied that it's been 1 year, because I remember that ceremony, the ribbon cutting. And tell us about what you're able to do there, Bruce, on your facility on McCall Road, or on Hayes Drive, excuse me.
Hayes Drive here. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's amazing. It's been a year already, and we've done so much and come such a long ways. The crisis stabilization services, they provide a unique service that solves some problems within the community. We had a huge gap between acute inpatient hospitalization needs and outpatient. There's kind of that in-between area that there weren't really any solutions for. And so what would happen is if you had a crisis after hours or even during the daytime or a weekend, the only option for you was to end up in an emergency room. And that's as we all know, that can be a lengthy, costly process. And frankly, the emergency rooms aren't the best place equipped to handle, mental health types of crises and things. So, So we were ended up bottlenecking in the emergency departments. And then also, you know, if the crisis goes unchecked, sometimes it involves law enforcement and other folks out there too. So the Crisis Stabilization Services, or the CSU, is now open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And one of the biggest services we have is just being available for the public, whoever they may be, to show up, to come in, to call us 24/7 with whatever is going on for them. And our job is to work with them and help either resolve the crisis that's going on or address it. Or if it can't be resolved here, then we want to access the services and resources that are needed to do that. And so we can problem solve and troubleshoot things right away. We do have the ability here that we're fortunate. Part of the big part of the facility is for people that need to actually stay here for more than just one visit, you know, one session visit. So when it can't be resolved, you know, in meeting with a clinician, then if they do need to stay here for several days or so to be able to address some things and get the help that they need, we're able to do that as well. And, you know, in the first year from, you know, a year ago, we were expecting, things to be kind of slow and opening and with the communities getting on board with using our services and things. And it's funny because we originally designed the original plans called for 6 beds on the overnight beds. But after looking at the architectural drawings and things, looked at it and said, no, we can do more than that. So we fit 11 beds. And in this first year, we've seen right off the bat, we hit the ground running, about 1,200 crisis sessions. And some of those are with teens, children, adolescents, senior adults, and adults as well, all walks of life. And of that 1,200, about little over 400, almost 450, actually benefited from actually admitting and actually staying here for several days or so. And while they're here, we can help them get connected with all the community resources because we're right here local. The other options that people would have if they needed to actually stay overnight would be pretty far away. Most of those resources are in the Kansas City area. So it's really, really difficult to stay connected in your community and connected to local resources, you know, when you're a couple of hours away. So that's one of the huge benefits.
That's Bruce Johnson with Pawnee Mental Health's Crisis Stabilization Unit. Bruce, do you think that it's more comfortable for a patient to come to the CSU than either the hospital or obviously, you know, in the prison system?
Yeah. And I would think so. And I think most everybody here would agree. You know, we if you walked in, it would kind of feel a little bit like a hospital setting and look like one inside a little bit with the way we do things because safety is paramount and the care that we give and everything. But we have a lot less restrictions than you would if you were getting, admitted to an actual hospital. So you're able to, it allows a person to be able to stay connected to their community and their friends. And they're, like I said, right here close to home, people come visit, they can go see them. One of the nice things we can do is if somebody does have things that need to go on, take care of outside of here, we can help them do that. They're not locked in and it's not restricted. It's all a unlocked type of place. I've had people before that when we tried to get them into a hospital back before we were open here, they say, no, I can't go someplace for several days far away. I've got a dog that needs to be fed. I mean, sounds like a real simple problem.
That would be a concern for me.
Yeah. You couldn't do that. Well, here, we'll help you do that. Even if you need a ride, we'll go back and forth. If you got a job interview coming up or a doctor appointment that you can't miss, we're going to get you there. So we can take care of all those things outside of here as well. And that's a pretty neat thing about doing this way with the crisis stabilization, is that we're able to stay connected right here locally.
I'm sure that when you opened a year ago, you hadn't even had maybe a little bit in your mind about the health scare that we've had here in 2020 with the pandemic. How has this development changed maybe how you treat your patients and obviously how you take care of your staff?
Well, it certainly, you know, everybody's had to be creative. You know, a lot of services around have been able to go to televideo and do things remotely and, you know, and all sorts of things to be able to try to stay safe or safer. And unfortunately, the nature of what we do doesn't allow us that. You know, we're face to face and boots on the ground here all the time, regardless of what pandemic is or is not going on. So we, you know, we do all the regular standard precautions and the decontamination and cleaning and everything else we've always done. So we are pretty fortunate that we had a lot of those things in place to begin with. So we have the capability, you know, somebody had before the pandemic, if somebody had the flu or was sick, we knew how to do the isolation and the cleaning and all the proper procedures ahead of time. So it really wasn't a huge change for us. So we were, you know, we didn't have a lot of adapting to do, but just really, you know, kind of some of the more concerns. And actually, it's kind of funny around the state, a couple of other CSUs that are out there reported that during the pandemic time, when it first started going on, they actually saw a big drop in utilization of people coming in and accessing services. Whereas for whatever reason, we actually saw an uptake in that. So we've been busier and busier and busier ever since then.
We are doing this interview via Zoom, and I don't know if you had incorporated Zoom prior to the pandemic or not. So many of us had not, but almost all of our interviews now are either via Zoom or over the phone. The telemedicine aspect via phone or Zoom, has that been a factor for you to work through?
Well, it is a tool that we use. You know, before all this stuff, Zoom was a feature on your camera. And we've been doing televideo. We cover about 13 emergency rooms. If somebody goes in an emergency room in a mental health crisis, we check in with that person, do the assessments, find the resources and everything that we can for them. And some of those are pretty remote emergency rooms. So we've been using the televideo features since back in the day to be able to help those emergency rooms out there, especially in the rural areas. So we were using those. And actually those procedures all haven't changed. Some of the local hospitals, we like to do these things in person in the emergency rooms and go in and see people. And sometimes they're, you know, closed for outsiders and things. So we'll use Zoom for them. But that's probably the only thing that's changed is starting to use Zoom for the for televideo for the local hospitals that we like to care for.
And Robin, I know that has taken on a new avenue for other methods of treatment throughout Pawnee Mental Health's facilities around the, 10 counties, 10 county region?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're utilizing Zoom for some therapy aspects as well.
Absolutely. You know, before the pandemic, our Zoom services were pretty much limited to our medical department, and they were primarily reserved for providing services to some of our remote offices. And that was because of the way that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services had identified the regulations about telehealth. Services, for example, couldn't be provided to an urban area like Manhattan. But then when the pandemic hit, as a means to reduce the spread of the virus, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services suspended those rules and allowed for telehealth to occur in and out of urban and rural settings. And so it really opened the possibilities up beyond what they had been before the pandemic. And so now we're providing almost all of our services are available through Zoom or through telephone or in person, depending on what the needs of the individual are and the circumstances that they're facing. So we're able really to use all the tools in the toolbox to make sure that people have access to the services that they need.
Bruce, one quick question for you before we need to take our break, and this is with regards to your crisis stabilization unit. Is 11 beds enough, and at what time do you think you need to add more?
Well, we're already pushing the limits there. We're near capacity the majority of the time. We do a pretty good job of triaging and being creative with how we do things, but we've hit the ceiling many times. In fact, today we are full. It doesn't mean that we can't care for people when they come in. We can still, there's an observation status, they call it, that we usually do. And then as soon as we have somebody discharged from a bed, we're able to get them into there. So yeah, it's full. We need to build a second level or something.
That's what you do when you respond to the needs. Bruce Johnson, thanks for joining us this morning. I don't know if you're going to continue on with the next segment, but we're going to have Robin on talk about a couple of things, including Survivor of Suicide Loss Day and Driving the Dream 2 when K-Man's In Focus returns with Pawnee Mental Health on News Radio KMAN.